Hey, everybody. This is Jamie Nunley, lead pastor of Victory Fellowship Church. Thanks for listening to the VFC Sermon Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to download our free VFC Thomasville app, where you can access all of our messages, sermon notes, announcements, and small group lessons. This app is the easiest way to keep up with everything going on here at VFC. So please enjoy the following sermon. We hope it encourages you in your walk with Jesus and helps you to belong, believe, and become. Enjoy. Bring up, because sometimes you might feel like you're a little stuck in your relationship with the Lord, right? And so God has given us different power-ups. Instead of doing it in our own power, we need to learn to do things in His power. And I have as an example here, you know, here's a screwdriver, right? You guys have used a screwdriver before. The good thing about screwdrivers is that they work, right? I mean, this is a Phillips head screwdriver. You line it up with the screw and you start turning, right? And it works. It's great. But there's something even better. There is an available power-up, and it's a power drill. And this drill has a Phillips head attachment to it, and this is a lot easier. Look how easy I just pull the trigger. And it works, right? And so, look, I'm thankful for screwdrivers, but I really like power drills. And so there's power that God wants to add to your life. And the first week we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, about how the Holy Spirit, when you're saved, He lives in you. But He can also be upon you. And so we talked about that the first week. Last week, Eric shared, didn't he do such a great job? He preached so well. He really did. He did. And he talked about power and weakness, which is so contrary. Like, we think our power comes from us, like, getting better at stuff. But in reality, what Scripture says is that when you are weak, God is strong. So we have to learn how to be weak in order to be strong. So if you missed either one of those messages, I encourage you, they're on our app, they're on our website, they're on our podcast. We even have CDs in the foyer that you can get as well. This week, we're talking about power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to tell you a story about when I first realized the power of a name. It was actually Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day was last weekend. But this was Valentine's Day many, many moons ago. Tiffany and I were still dating. We may have been engaged. I don't remember. So this is like the late 90s when this is going on. And it was Valentine's Day, and I got off of work, got home, and realized I had done nothing for Valentine's Day for her. Big mistake. So I needed to do some sort of flowers or candy or card or something, right? So I hop in the car. My buddy Garrett, who's my roommate and still goes to church here, he's with me. We hop in the car, and I was trying to get this done before Tiff got off work. So I may have been going a little fast. I was definitely going a little fast. So as I come up to the grocery store, I see the blue lights behind me. I'm like, oh, man, okay. And so I'm getting pulled over, and the guy gets out of the car. He says, hey, I need to see your license. I give him my license. He looks at my name, and he says, Nunley. Are you related to the Nunleys in Gadsden, Alabama? We lived in Birmingham at that time. Now, I'm not proud of this next part. But if someone's last name is Nunley and it's spelled the way that ours is, I mean, we're related in some way, right? So he goes, are you related to the Nunleys in Gadsden, Alabama? And I go, yes, I am. Yes, I am related to the Nunleys. He goes, cool, my wife's maiden name is Nunley, and she's from there. You know the guy? He owns, like, the glass factory over there. And I'm like, Bob Nunley? You need to understand, I just pulled Bob out of the air. No, I'm Bob Nunley? And he goes, yeah, Bob Nunley. There is power in the name of Bob. Now, I don't know if I happened to guess Bob Nunley's name correctly or if the cop didn't know his first name either and just like, yeah, it sounds right. But there was power in the name of Bob that day. I have since repented of lying to my earthly authorities. But there's power in a name, right? Those of you who are parents, you know that there is power in a name, especially if you call your child by their full name. I remember when I was a kid, my parents would be like, Jamie, come here. Jamie, do this. Jamie, make your bed. Jamie, do this. Jamie, stop. I'd be like, all right, I'll get to it. But then if my parents said, James Thomas Nunley, come here. It's like, whoa. Right? And I've done this as well with my children. And I think the reason why this works is it's a callback to their authority. In other words, it's saying, hey, I know your full name because I came up with it. And you need to do what I'm saying. There is power in the name, and parents know that. I want to show you this verse. It's Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 11. It says, therefore, God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus has the name that's above all names. And if there is power in a name, then there is certainly power in the name of Jesus. Now, before I get any further, I want to teach you just something really quickly. And don't worry, this isn't going to be school the whole time. But I just want to make sure that you're edumacated about the name of Jesus, okay? So what is Jesus' name? So let's just go over this real quick. First of all, Jesus' name was Yeshua. Yeshua. If we were to translate Yeshua from Hebrew into English, it would be the name Joshua, okay? But we don't call Jesus Yeshua, do we? We don't call Jesus Joshua, we call him Jesus. Why? Well, because the New Testament, which is the part of the Bible that deals with Jesus, not the Israelites, it was written in the Greek language. And in the Greek language, Yeshua is Iesus, Iesus. And so Iesus then translated into English is Jesus. All right, are you following? So sometimes people get hung up on this and like, well, I only talk about Yeshua. And it's like, so it's all the same. Why? Because they mean the same thing. The name, whether it's Yeshua, Joshua, or Jesus, Jesus, they mean Jehovah is salvation. And changing the language of a word doesn't affect the meaning of the word. If I call something a car, pointing to a vehicle and say, that's a car, or if I point to the vehicle and say, el coche, in Spanish, I have not, those are different words, same meaning. And so it doesn't matter. So people get hung up on this sometimes. If you want to call Jesus Yeshua, go for it. And there's some people, it's actually Yehoshua, and it's like, okay, you know, why don't you go get people saved instead of arguing over names? Right? And so look, so Jesus' name was Yeshua. Now here, to further complicate things, Jesus, Mary and Joseph and the disciples, they actually didn't speak Hebrew, nor they knew it, nor did they speak Greek probably. They probably spoke Aramaic. So Jesus may not have been called Yeshua in the Hebrew way. In Aramaic, Yeshu or Yesu is the word. So they might have actually called him Yesu. As a matter of fact, when I go over to that area of the country and they call Jesus, they call him Yesu. So look, the point is not that you get Jesus' name exactly right. The point is that you call on his name, okay? So that's Jesus' name. That's why we call him Jesus, because it comes from Greek. Now, I put on Facebook yesterday, how many of you know Jesus' last name? And we had a couple of really good guesses. But it's not Christ. If Jesus were in school and they were calling people by their last name, you know, Cunningham, comma, Billy, here, Christ, comma, Jesus, present, like that's not how they would refer to him. As a matter of fact, they didn't have last names or surnames like we have now over in that area of the country. So usually what someone would be called, especially a male, would be called the first name and then bar, B-A-R, and then the first name of their father. And you actually see this in scripture some. Simon Bar-Jonah is Peter, who we know is Peter. And so Jesus, especially when he was a child, would have been called Jesus Bar-Joseph, all right? until he began his earthly ministry and they realized, wait a minute, this is the Son of God. And so it's not really completely true to say that he's the son of Joseph. So they then referred to him as Jesus of Nazareth, which was where he was born. And that's what you see all throughout Scripture, Jesus of Nazareth. But it was kind of a trick question I asked on social media because he didn't really have a last name like we have last names. He was referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. And what's interesting is this is still, again, when I go over to that area of the country, the minister that I work with, his first name is an American name, is a biblical name, and his last name is his father's first name. And then his wife, ladies, I hate to tell you this, his wife, she has a first name. Her last name is her husband's first name. So over there, Tiffany would be called Tiffany Jamie. That'd be her full name. You want to do that, babe? No? And she's like, no, I don't think so. So that's why they referred to Jesus of Nazareth instead of Jesus bar Joseph, okay? Now, let's talk about Christ, though. So Christ, we often say Jesus, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. That is a title. It's a title. It's who he is. It's not just his name. So in the Hebrew, Mashiach is the Hebrew word, and it means, it translated into English, is Messiah, all right, which literally means anointed one, one who is anointed by God. And then in the Greek is Christos. Christos, in put into English, is Christ. And so we are using, when we say Jesus Christ, we are using the English translation of the Greek words for Jesus. Are you with me? So that's why we say what we say. His last name was not Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus is the Lord's human name that was given to Mary by the angel Gabriel, and Christ is his title. We need to begin, when we talk about the name of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. We have to change our thinking from Western American naming conventions to the Hebrew, thousands of years old way that they dealt with names. See, Jesus' name is not magic. When we pray in Jesus' name or we say something in Jesus' name, by tacking on his name to the end of a prayer or to the end of something, it's not like, okay, I said in Jesus' name, amen, so therefore it's going to happen. Look at John chapter 14, 13 through 14. It says, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and you're a disciple, so he's talking to you. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son himself can bring glory to the Father. Yes, in case you misunderstood, verse 14, yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, that just seems too simple, doesn't it? Because all I would have to do is say, Father, I pray for a bowl of cereal, Lucky Charms, to materialize right here in Jesus' name. And it's not here. Didn't work. So what did Jesus mean by that? Well, again, just saying his name and attaching it to a purpose or what you're doing or a prayer is not praying in the name of Jesus. That's not how you properly use the name of Jesus. See, in biblical times, the name defines the purpose. Names were descriptions. There's another name for Jesus that the angel told Joseph and Mary to call him, and that's Emmanuel. You remember that, Emmanuel? You usually only hear about it around Christmas time. Now, did they actually call Jesus Emmanuel? No. They called him Jesus or Yeshua. So what was the angel saying? Again, he wasn't telling them what to name him or how to call him to dinner. They were ascribing purpose to him because Emmanuel means God with us. They were saying, look, your child will be God among people. His name will be called Emmanuel. They weren't talking about how to refer to him. They were talking about what he would do. When you do something in Jesus' name, you're doing it in his authority, his ability, and his attitude. It's not just putting his name at the end of a sentence or the end of a prayer. That's not, you have not prayed in Jesus' name just because you said in Jesus' name. You only pray or do something in Jesus' name when you are doing that thing in his authority, in his ability, and in his attitude. When you pray for something to happen outside of his authority and will, you're not asking God in Jesus' name. You're asking him in your name. You didn't even check to see if it was God's will, right? You're just throwing up a prayer in Jesus' name, right? When you pray for help with something, and then you go and do it in your own ability, you aren't doing that in Jesus' name. You're doing it in your own ability, not his ability. You said the words, but you're not doing it in Jesus' name. When you do something with an attitude that is not Christ-like, you are not acting in Jesus' name. You may have said the words, I do this, what I do now, I do in Jesus' name. But if it's not in his authority, in his ability, or in his attitude, you didn't do it in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? And this is the reason why so many people are like, why didn't God answer my prayers? Because they're crummy prayers. James, the book of James says, you ask that you may spend on your pleasures. You ask amiss. You're asking wrong. You have the wrong intentions. And God loves you so much, he's not going to give you something that hurts you. So he says, I know you said in Jesus' name, amen. But you're not getting that thing. Because the Lord loves you enough to tell you no. This means praying in Jesus' name is not as much about the words you use when you pray, but the nearness of your heart to his when you pray. It's not about the words that you say as much as it is the heart with which you say it. This is what determines whether or not we are praying in his name. If it's not about his purpose and his power, it's not in his name. So, I want to show you this morning three things that the name of Jesus provides for you. When you're walking in his ability, in his authority, in his attitude, three things that you can know belong to you because you are operating in the name of Jesus. And here's the first one. It's access. Access. The name of Jesus provides access to the Father. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, this high priest of ours, referring to Jesus, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. I just need to let you know something. Actually, that first part of the verse, verse 15, wasn't really the main point. The next verse is the main point, but I want to pause for a second because I've read recently, based on Barna research that does research of Christians and what Christians believe, like barely half of all Christians believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. That's the latest statistic. I just want to make sure that you guys know, Jesus lived a sinless life. That's so important, and it's a detail that's really important, and we can't let go of that. And here's why. Because if Jesus didn't live a sinless life, that means that he could no longer do what he did, which is become your sin so that you might be saved. Okay? And so it is important. Jesus lived a sinless life. Was he fully human? Yes. Was he fully God? Absolutely. Did he live a sinless life? He did. He did. Let's keep reading. Hebrews 4, now verse 16. So in light of this, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy. We'll find grace to help us when we need it most. Have you ever needed something from God and it's time for you to pray and you have that conversation where you're like, okay, I don't want to mess this up. Lord, don't smite me. But I need help with this. And you just feel kind of disconnected. You know, that's a lie from the enemy. You know, you don't have to get prepared and ready and prepped and, okay, I'm going to come before the Father. When you come in Jesus' name, not just saying in Jesus' name, but in his authority, his ability, and his attitude, you can walk right up to God the Father with confidence. Why? Because you're so great? No, because he's so great. Because you're relying on his ability, not your own ability. His authority, not your own authority. And you're walking in the same attitude that Christ has. Have you ever been denied access to somewhere? maybe an exclusive restaurant, or maybe you were supposed to go somewhere and you had to know someone to get in. Or maybe you've even seen on TV where people were standing outside of a club or whatever, or they're waiting to get in, and then like some movie star walks in, and they're just, oh, come right in. You're like, I've been waiting for an hour. Imagine, though, for a moment, that celebrity turned around. You're standing in line to get into this restaurant, exclusive restaurant. Celebrity walks in, turns around, and says, oh, and you know what? They can come in, too. That's what it's like. You get into heaven not because of what you've done, but because of who you know. You're operating in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, in the ability of Jesus, in the attitude of Jesus. So you get to be a name dropper. You know people who are name droppers? Well, you know, I know. They like refer to celebrities as like by their first name. Yeah, so me and Tom hang out. Tom Cruise? Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Right? So you get to be a name dropper. You get to drop Jesus' name. And then wherever he can go, you can go. Whatever he can do, you can do. Because you're doing these things in Jesus' name. John chapter 16, this is really interesting. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. Jesus explains a change that's about to take place. He's explaining this to his disciples. He's actually changing the way that they come to the Father. And we're going to read this, and I got an example for you. Jesus says this, at that time you won't need, this is by the way, he's talking about at that time when he dies and he's risen again. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth, you will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. See, this was new. This was not because Jesus had not died and resurrected. But after he did, that changes how we interact with the Father. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name. Again, my authority, my ability, my attitude. Ask using my name and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. Eric, can I borrow you and bother you? I will. And Tiff, will you come up too? I want to show you guys how this works because I think visually it helps. So Eric, if you'll stand there. Tiff, if you'll stand here. So in this example, I'm a Christian who has a need, all right, which is basically everyone, any Christian. Tiff is going to be Jesus because she's the most Christ-like person I know. Oh, actually, she just stood in the right place. And then Eric isn't going to be God the Father. We're just use your imagination, okay? So the old way that I need to get to the Father, the old way of asking the Father would be to tell Jesus, and then Jesus would tell the Father, right? He says, you won't ask me to do anything anymore. So I would say, hey, Jesus, so I don't like my job. I need a promotion or I need a new job. Will you please tell the Father to grant that to me? And then Jesus would go and there then to the Father. But I'm separate from the Father. But now that Christ has died and resurrected, he sits at the right hand of the Father and I'm in relationship with him. So now I walk right up to the Father in Jesus' authority, in Jesus' name, and I say, Father, man, I need a new job. Too bad is what he says. Father, I need help with what to do with my youth pastor. So does that make sense? Thank you, guys. Thanks. Does that make sense? See, before he was saying, look, the disciples are asking Jesus, hey, pray to the Father that this will happen. Pray to the Father. He goes, look, you're not going to do that anymore. Now, linked up with me, in relationship with me, in the authority that I have, now you go straight to the Father. Isn't that awesome? When you get alone with God, and you just get still, you close your eyes, nothing else, turn off the TV, and you're talking with the Lord, you know, you can be confident. Because I want you to imagine yourself linked up with Jesus. And he is your access to the Father. Amen? The next thing that the name of Jesus provides is power. And again, this is what we're talking about, powering up, right? Power comes through the name of Jesus. I love this verse. It's Acts chapter 4, 7 through 10. It's a passage right after Peter and John healed this dude. There's this guy that couldn't walk. He's sitting at a major entry gate to the temple. Everyone saw this guy. Everyone knew this guy. He asks Peter and John for money, and they go, hey, we don't have money for you right now, but here's what we do have. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. The guy gets up. He starts walking. And the little song I used to sing when I was a kid, he went walking and leaping and praising God. Any other church kids? Okay, five of you. Cool. So they cause a big scene, and they get arrested, and they get thrown in jail, okay? And so then they're standing in front of the Jewish council, and you need to read, I wish there was a sarcasm font in the Bible, because Peter gets pretty sarcastic here, okay? But I want you to notice what he says about the name of Jesus and how it relates to the power to heal. Check this out. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Again, the power, the ability, and the name, they're the same. That's, remember, we're in Jewish culture here. It's not just by what name, like, what do I call this person who healed this man? No. Whose authority, whose ability did you use? So by what power and whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for healing a crippled man? I love it. He didn't back down at all. He was like, why are we in trouble? Because we helped someone? All right. Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you, and to all the people of Israel, that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Wow, it's powerful. He's like, look, make no mistake. It wasn't our ability. It was his ability. It was the name, the authority, the ability, and the attitude of Jesus that made this man whole. There's power in the name of Jesus. Luke 10:17, Jesus sent out 72 disciples to go into neighboring villages and begin to preach the kingdom. And he said, hey, if someone is sick, heal them. If someone is demonized, get rid of the spirits. If whatever they need, take care of it and then come back and meet with me. He didn't even go with them. That would have been scary, right? So they come back, and let's look and see what happened. Luke 10:17, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. When we use your name. And then it's a really cool passage where Jesus talks about, yeah, I remember Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Seen lightning before? Bam, it's real quick. It's like, yeah, it's not even a fight. But they realized that it was in his name that they were able to cast out demons. Now, remember, it's not just saying in Jesus' name that makes you use Jesus' name. It's his authority, it's his ability, and it's his attitude, remember? That's what Jesus' name is. And we know this because there's this crazy passage in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 19. And you can look it up on your own, but there are these seven sons of Sceva. Have you heard of this before? Seven sons of Sceva. They're these seven sons of this priest, this Jewish priest. They're not believers in Jesus. But they're going out and they're trying to cast out demons. And they say, we command you to come out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. They don't have any personal relationship with Jesus. They're just trying to use the name by saying the name. And it actually records in Scripture that one time they do that, and the Spirit speaks through the man and says, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And proceeds to jump on and beat up all of the seven sons of Sceva and tear their clothes off so they run away beaten and naked. It's a great Sunday school lesson for the kids, right? Isn't that wild? But they said in the name of Jesus, but they weren't doing it in the name of Jesus. The power comes from knowing him. The power comes, again, from his authority, from his ability, and his attitude, When you do it that way, you're now operating in Jesus' name. So there is power in his name. Last one, there is salvation in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12, this is the same conversation that Peter and John are having in front of the council after they got arrested for healing the man who was crippled. Same speech that Peter is given, and he says this, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. It's only the name of Jesus. Jesus himself, John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Hey, look, if you're here this morning and you're trying to impress God with your church attendance, if you're trying to make him happy because of how good you're doing at this Christian thing, I need to let you know something. Look, growing in your behavior is wonderful. It's what you're called to do. Doing good works is wonderful. It's why God saved you. But it's not what impresses God. The only way that you get access to the Father is not through your own abilities, not through your own authority, and not through your own attitude. It's by the name of Jesus. His is the only name by which you can be saved. Hey, you may have attended church a bunch. You may have the t-shirt and everything, right? But you can only get access to the Father through the Son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And my question to you this morning is, have you discovered the power that's in the name of Jesus? It's an upgrade. It's a power up. You don't have to do life alone. You don't have to just throw up random prayers and hope that God somehow mysteriously answers them. When you pray in Jesus' name, not just saying that at the end of the prayer, but according to his authority, his ability, and his attitude, you will have what you ask, according to Scripture. Have you recognized this, you guys? Do you know? Are you operating in his power that comes in his name? Let's stand for prayer. I encourage you, we're about to have a baptism afterwards. If you are getting baptized, when I say amen at the end of this prayer, you can go ahead and get ready and you'll meet me over here in just a little bit. If you have to leave, go and be blessed. Know that the Lord loves you and know that it's his name, his power, his purpose that gives you the upgrade, the power up that you need in your spiritual walk. Let's do this for a second. Close your eyes. Let's respond to him. Ask the Lord this question. Am I walking in the power that comes in the name of Jesus? What's that bounce back thought you feel? What's he saying to you in this moment? Try asking him this. When I pray, am I saying in Jesus' name or am I actually praying in his ability, his authority, and his attitude? Am I praying according to his purpose and his power or my own? Speak to his Holy Spirit. Show us where we are this morning. I want to lead you in a prayer where we tell the Lord that we want to live by his power and we want to live in his name. If you will, pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving me your name. And it's not just saying your name, but it's your authority, your ability, and your attitude. Help me to walk in the power that comes with your name. Thank you for providing me access. Thank you for giving me power. And thank you for saving me by your name. Use me, God, to make a difference to the world around me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Eric, will you close us?
Hey, once again, thanks for listening to the VFC podcast. If you live in the Thomasville area, we would love for you to connect with us in person. For more information about our weekly gatherings, including service times and directions, just visit us at vfcthomasville.org.